Brothers and sisters, Shabbat Shalom. This week's parashah is Emor, and it covers Leviticus chapter 21 through 24. Chapter 21 covers the holiness of the priest and the offerings as required by Adonai. It starts with, "And the Lord said to Moses." This is a phrase that would be repeated throughout this section of Leviticus. The Lord tells Moses to speak to the priests and the sons of Aaron and to instruct them that they are not to allow themselves to be unclean by touching a dead person. The only exception to this was the priest's mother, his father, his son, his daughter, his brother, or his virgin sister. If she was married, burying her became the responsibility of her husband. Also, it was instructed that they should not shave the bald spots on their head or shave off the edges of their beard, nor make any cuts on their body. The priests are to be holy to God and not profane the name of God. Much is expected of the priest, and more is expected of the high priest. I'll talk more about that later. These requirements of the priests are outlined here. The priest will handle all the offerings and the holy object in the tabernacle. The priest was not to marry a prostitute or a woman who has been defiled, or divorce women. However, the priest could marry a widow. The high priest must follow these restrictions as well. However, the wife he takes must be a virgin. Now, perhaps this is to make sure that all the children in his house will be of the same mother and father. We have seen this in other parashas, that the requirement for the offering are that they are to be without blemish or defect of any kind. So it is for the priest. Men who were blind or lame, had a limp, or a hunchback, or a dwarf, were prohibited from the priesthood. In chapter 22, the Lord addresses the holiness of the offering. This is a heavy responsibility that El Gabor, mighty God, demanded of a priest. And it can be seen in verse 3, which says, "Say to them, if any one of all of your offspring throughout the generations approaches the holy things that the people of Israel dedicated to the Lord, while he has an uncleanness, that person shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord." Now, it doesn't say cut off from the people. They were cut off from the presence of God, which means they could no longer be able to work inside the tabernacle. Now, they could go through a process by which they could become clean again, but not on that particular day. The requirements of the offerings that were presented is again here repeated to remind the people that the sacrifices are to be unblemished bulls, sheep, and goats. So no matter what the offering was, it was required to be perfect. In chapter 23, the feasts of the Lord's are covered, not as a definitive description, but more as a day on the calendar and the main requirement. The first one is the Sabbath, the seventh day, a Saturday. No work was to be done on the Sabbath. This was a day of rest and to be spent with the Lord. The second feast is Passover. The date and time is given to observe 7 days of unleavened bread, and that you should do no ordinary work on the first day. Also, that you should present a food offering to the Lord for 7 days. The third feast, the Feast of First Fruits, is given. The feast is a reminder to wave the sheaf or a stalk of the harvest, and that the sacrifice that are to be formed with this. Passover and the Feast of Fruits run consecutively. The fourth feast, the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, follows. This feast is 50 days from Passover on the seventh Sabbath. The types of offering are mentioned in "You should do no ordinary work on that day." There is also a mention of what to do when you reap the harvest of your land. You are to leave the corners of your field for the poor and the foreigner to glean from. The fifth feast is the Feast of Trumpet, and the requirement that go with are followed by the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. The day is given when it is to be observed, as well as the work requirement and what type of food offering to give. Yom Kippur observance has a different requirement than the other feasts, which have a more joyful aspect to them. In the NIV, the requirement states that you should deny yourself. In the New American Standard, in the NIV, The word is afflict yourself. I'll talk more about that later also. The last feast is the Feast of Booths. The times and requirements are given and no work on that day. In chapter 24, we move to the oil for the lampstand and the bread that the people were to bring for the tabernacle. We are being reminded of the daily practice of the oil for the lamp and for the bread to be made for the Sabbath. These were offerings that the nation were to bring to the holy place and to give to the high priest. The oil was to come from olives and was to supply the solid gold lampstand that the high priest would oversee, and they would burn all night and all day. The Israelites would bring fine flour and bake 12 loaves of bread from it. The measurement was to be exact, and it was to be in the holy place for the entire week, as these were gifts to the Lord. Not that the Lord ate it, the priests were allowed to do that, but it was for El Elyon, the God Most High. The rest of 24, we are told of a punishment for a blasphemy. An Israeli woman's son who has an Egyptian father blasphemes the name of the Lord, and he is put to death. There is also a reminder of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, which is to say that the penalty for the crime committed should be measured against the crime committed, meaning the punishment should not exceed the crime. Brothers and sisters, some applications for us to ponder. When we examine the requirement of the high priest and the priest, this is no small matter. They were anointed and set apart to do the work of God. We should be reminded that when the two of Aaron's sons performed an unauthorized sacrifice, it cost them their lives. Yet another reminder for us in leadership that where much is given, much is expected. We must use the wisdom that God gave us for His glory and not our own. Our loyalty is to Yeshua. The high priest wore a crown that had the words inscribed on it, and it said, "Holiness unto the Lord," as a reminder to remember who God is and who the priests serve. The requirements, as stated earlier, was not just an internal, but an external. The priest could not demand purification of defilement if they were defiled themselves. So no priest was perfect. The priest had to make atonement for his sins as well. There would be only one priest, the highest priest, our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who is perfect and is perfect always. When we look at the feast as a whole, we can see that they were a time to come together for all the tribes. As it is now, on these holidays, we gather together as a community and celebrate the glory of God. For the Day of Atonement, God's Word told us that we are to deny ourselves or afflict ourselves during this festival. It is a somber remembrance that a perishing had to occur to atone for our sins. Brothers and sisters, it was a time to humble our souls. A sacrifice was made on our behalf in this feast. It is a foreshadowing of what is to come when a perfect human would make sacrifice on our behalf, take our place and die for our sins, that we may have eternal life. On that Day of Atonement, the sacrifice of that day merely covered their sin. The sacrifice of Messiah Yeshua removed our sin for those who believe in Him, and our sins are remembered no more. Chapter 24 gives us the requirement for the lampstand and the showbread. These were a daily requirement. The lamp was to shine day and night, and the bread was always there. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you see that the lamp that brought light and the bread that was always there is still here today, and His name is Yeshua. He is the light and the bread of life, and Yeshua is in our lives today and every day. Amen.